Johnny Dollar.
Buddy Friction, Johnny, over here at Morrow Guarantee Insurance.
Buddy, how are you?
Oh, same as always. Listen, now, why don't you do me a favor?
If I can.
Ever hear of an old dame by the name of Mrs. Ambrose Wainford Van Turkle?
Ambrose, what?
Van Turkle.
No, I'm happy to say I haven't.
Yeah, I guess you have a point there. Nancy's an old first budget. Lives over on South Tyrone, 1227.
South Tyrone? She must be loaded.
Yeah, depends on how you look at it. But we have written a bit of insurance on her jewelry. And Johnny...
How much?
Just under a cool million. And Johnny...
You're kidding.
Not a bit. But now listen...
My regular commission on $1 million?
Now listen, will
you? Daddy, say no more. I'll take the case.
CBS Radio Network brings you Mandel Kramer in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator, yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, the Mono Guarantee Insurance Company, Hartford, Connecticut. Following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation on the Too Many Cooks matter. You know, they say that too many cooks spoil the broth. Well, believe me, too many cooks can certainly mess up an insurance investigation. I know. Account item 1, 4 to 6 to fill the gas tank on my car. Then I drove to Freddy Friedkin's office down on the square. He was waiting for me out front. Okay, Freddy, let's have it.
Well, look, if you hadn't hung up the phone on
I see, that must be pretty urgent. The standing here says I was right. So, what goes with this Van Turkle dame and her $1 million worth of jewelry?
I told you, and that's why she's an important client. I understand, incidentally, she keeps it all out there at her home.
She does, hmm?
And that's fine with us. Makes the premiums that much higher.
What's happened to her, Freddy?
Her? Well, not a thing, nothing at all. It's what happens to me.
What do you mean?
Well, it's the day after all her service, including the chauffeur.
No.
I promised to drive her in here to the office this morning to go over some of her policies.
Well, Fred.
Well, now, if I don't, the old fuss spot is liable to blow a gasket and cancel everything. And she would.
You mean that's all you told me about?
So the first vice president in charge of me has just arrived in town, and that means I don't dare leave this place. Well,
Freddy, I was signing a commission on
her. So I told her you'd drive her in here.
You what?
And, Johnny, I don't know what this power is that you seem to have over these old biddies, but she knows all about you. Listens to every program every week and thinks you're wonderful.
Johnny, flattery will get you nowhere.
Look, instead of chewing me out, she said fine. She'd get all fixed up in her Sunday best and be waiting.
Oh, Freddy, look.
And I'm serious, Johnny. This is really important.
Am I supposed to wear a uniform and chauffeur cap?
I'm not kidding. It is important, very. Will you do it as a favor to me?
As a favor to you?
Yeah.
No.
Now, Johnny.
But I will for another reason.
Oh?
I would just like to have a look at the female who can throw such a scare into fearless Freddy Friedkin. I drove to the CC residential section on South Tyrone Avenue. Number 1227 was one of those huge, once very fashionable brownstone affairs surrounded with broad lawns, formal gardens, and plenty of sloping elms. The winding driveway led to a porch of here on one side. I pulled in, gave the horn a couple of palaces, and waited. Looks like a lady could really buzz one service. Well,
can we do anything? Well, come on, you lady foot, your carriage is missing. So am I.
Oh, Mrs. Van Tick.
When I finally saw the light again, the birds out there in the trees were singing merrily, but to my aching head, it sounded like they were screaming. I just lay there for a minute or two trying to collect my wits. Whoever gave me that pot over the head had really done a good job of it. It made sure I'd stay out of circulation long enough for him to get away with it. I'd had just one glimpse of him in a brief second when I'd opened that door. William Street. That's what he wanted. William Street, struggling second story, man, with a record as long as your arm. With old Mrs. Van Kirkler alone in this big house.
Get back to my feet. Mrs. Van Circle? Mrs. Van Circle?
I found her slumped over in a chair in the center of the morning room. She'd been stuck over the whole table and hard. She was breathing, but no sense. I grabbed the telephone.
Listen. Yes?
This is Johnny Dollar. I'm over here at Mrs. Van Hickle's place.
Oh, yes, Johnny. She's
a face of mine. Listen, doctor, will you? Somebody got in here and hit her over the head and she's in bad shape.
What?
I don't know where this girl lives.
I'll be there right away.
You'd better. Another call. Let's turn to headquarters and Sergeant Harry Dunham. He promised to send somebody pronto. Then I asked the phone to ask you anything, Mrs. Van Circle. I looked around. Finally, I found it in the library. The old painting pushed aside. In back of it, the wall safe. Broken open, and very empty. On that floor, a single room that apparently had been dislodged from the setting. I dropped it into my pocket and made another phone call. Johnny.
But where are you, Johnny? What happened? Did you go out there and pick her up?
Listen to me, Freddie.
Yeah?
How much did you say you insured the jewelry for?
Well, who told me and why?
You better get ready to send her a check.
What?
If she stays alive.
Whatever happened to you? You're driving down a long highway, or working late, and then monotony makes you feel drowsy. Perhaps it's No-Dose. No-Dose keeps you alert with the same taste refresher found in coffee. But No-Dose is faster, healthier, more reliable. Absolutely not habit forming. The safe way to stay alert without harmful stimulants. No-Dose.
On old Van Circle. I sent Mullins over there right away.
Well, good. I left to finish the doctor out there.
Yeah, I talked to the doc on the phone and sent an ambulance out.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna try, but he's not sure if he can pull it through.
Good. Listen, Harry.
Hey, what reminds me?
Yeah?
An old friend of yours just left town only about an hour ago at our request.
Friend of mine? Who?
An old strong arm by the name of William McPeak.
Yes.
What?
Yeah, we helped him out of the pain in New York.
Oh, fine.
Told him we just don't like his looks around here.
Harry, he is the man.
What?
Didn't you know? He's not only a strong arm specialist, but he has enough raps against him for burglary to fill a book.
Well, I reckon he'll only show a couple of arrests over the years.
I don't see a witness, Joe Harry. He's the one I found there at Mrs. Van Tuffle's house, the one who belted me over the head.
Oh, and we helped him out of town.
You sure did.
Okay, Johnny, okay. I'll notify the New York Police Department right away to grab him for it.
If they can find him. And you know how long it'll take just to get the wheels turning, get all the red tape out of the way?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, brother. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I can find him.
How, Johnny?
A little local knowledge, Harry.
About him?
About him and about some other people down there. I'll see you later. Item 2-1045, came here to New York. And I was lucky. A flight took off just a few minutes after I got to Bradley Field. I didn't hear in the big city, $4 a week for a cab, then to 18th Precinct headquarters. Before even talking to my old pal, Lieutenant Randy Singer, I appropriated a phone in the office next to his and made 5 calls to men who were always ready to dig up a little bit of information from you for a price. Then I walked into Randy's office.
Okay. Well, what's it all about, Johnny? You can make that old call to him,
Randy, if I told you, you'd probably round them all up and talk to me again.
Oh, sure, huh?
Right. And they're a lot more valuable to me on the loose.
Are you sure you haven't been telling me who they are? So we can, sort of protect them for you, you know? The partners can know who would like to talk to you, Johnny.
Randy, I've got him out.
What do you think the stuff? Tapping that diamond or whatever it is on the top of my desk, do you? Want to strike a glass?
This diamond is what I came here about.
Well, Johnny, you're just going to pick a better day than Mexican down here in Boston.
Well, it's not.
No, everything. Country's on our next again. There's a lot of funny girls circulating around.
No?
Places are down as good as folks in X, but you've got the bad friends and 20s and the good ones.
That doesn't mean.
Well, yes, we know. I mean, it's a ring. They're pretty up to those boys around here, Johnny, and then we've got a deal at almost all of them.
Almost all?
Well, of course, the federal boys are beating their brains out, too, but what's happening is this.
Yeah?
Every time we knock over a print shop, if we make mistakes, we get there too late.
How do you mean?
Well, the place is gone. Then it's sold to someone else.
Mm.
And not just to another city, Johnny. That's what could crack down your lease, is it? I think, I hope that through some intermediary, some Joe who's dancing with another kid just long enough to get out of Mexico and then pass them on to somebody else.
Well, maybe you better sit down every paint shop in town, man.
Oh, sure. You know what it takes? Just one little crash tucked away in somebody's face.
Mm.
Getting those guys, it could be thousands of them. But to the partners raising claim, the feds are complaining we aren't cooperating, I feel lousy. And what's your problem?
What are you going
to do? The truth? Well, you have to go out for a long time.
Oh, he hasn't, eh?
Ambitious, really?
Yeah.
Always on the way to something big and always on the way to
now, let me tell you now, Randy.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah? No. He tried peddling goofballs for a while, so only 2 years up the river. Tried just making another turn. About half a dozen rounds. It's always fell on his face. The only thing he could do to get away with was a burglary and safe job.
Well, he can't this time, so listen.
Oh, look, Johnny, I'd like to help you, Woody. Will you stop tapping that thing?
Nearly $1 million worth of jewels.
I don't care if it's...
No, up in Hartford, but I need your help.
Well, Johnny, until we get a pistol fixed in that place up there, maybe, well, you know how it works.
I mean, a little deal between you and me has to be a pistol all of a sudden.
Oh, no, of course not. But will you stop scratching that diamond on the glass, huh?
Okay, Randy.
Well, look. Yeah? This boot? Yeah.
The blue thing.
Oh? $5.
Body.
Oh, what's funny?
Yes, funny too.
This number you give me a headquarters.
Oh, don't worry about that. That's where I am. Go ahead.
You wouldn't pull one on this, Johnny.
Nah, funny. You know me better than that.
Yeah, I guess I do.
You got something for me?
Say, couple of signals, Johnny?
That's 100, Spotty. If you just know me well, one or two.
Okay. Just a couple of minutes ago with a briefcase on him.
Yeah.
718 East 49th.
I got it.
He pokes the bus at the number 2A, and then he goes in.
2A, huh? Okay.
Exactly.
You know anybody there's ever an 849 sitting on him?
Did I?
I'll let you know.
Now, wait, Johnny. I thought you wanted some help.
I may not need it now.
Oh, no? Well, now, wait a minute. Maybe...
Dollar even for a cab to the musty 16-year-old apartment building on East 49th Street. I quickly pushed the button to the apartment in the place. They almost had been out here with phones going out because nobody pushed open the lock on the front door for me. So I flipped the lock, and I quietly went inside and up the stairs to the door of 2A. Your gun. Kick it over here. Come on.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, now sit down over there against the wall.
You said a lot to me. What'd you say to me, man?
Sure, it's backed out on me.
But if you figure on keeping this mess of jewels and whatever it was he gave you for them. What was it, Willie? What'd he give you for them? Look at the bridge up here. Don't move, Willie.
Okay, you got the gun.
Johnny, where are you calling from?
718 East 49.
Well, listen, I just
Apartment 2A.
There's a guy living over there we've been looking at for years.
There was, Randy.
Name of Horace Petersley, a packer of hot jewelry, that sort of stuff, you know. Only we never have been able to... Hey, what'd you say? What?
That's right, he's dead.
Okay, I'll be right over.
No, Randy.
Hmm? What do you mean?
Find somebody else.
Well, now, listen, Johnny, if you knock him off, I mean, even...
Somebody else back... killed him, Randy. The punk I have sitting here at the other end of my gun.
Oh.
You stay right there in your office, and I'll be along in a couple of minutes with the band Circle Jewels and with William's Peace and so.
You're kidding.
Not a bit. And
that's all the more reason I'd better get over there.
No, Randy, because while you're waiting for us, I want you to get a hold of Fritz Melchior.
That, gemologist?
Yes. Tell him to get there immediately with all of his equipment.
Well, I don't get it, Johnny.
You will, Randy. You will. Item 4, another dollar from the cab. Luckily, by the time we got to headquarters, Melchior, the gemologist, was there and waiting. I handed him the band Circle Jewels and told him to set up his equipment on Randy's desk and get to work.
Now, I'm going to take the ultraviolet lamp for a moment or two to get warmed up, Mr. Dollar.
Oh, that's perfectly all right, Mr. Melchior.
But in the meantime, I'll just set up this retired refraction meter. And goodbye.
Just going for the time.
But why can't we just book Willie and lock him up, Johnny? Conway's going to get tired sitting there holding a gun on him.
Man,
he's
starting
to make some money. And he sees what I think he's going to see. He wishes that he had that gun to shoot himself with. Talk to you about it, wouldn't he?
Well, what do you know about
that? I remember, right? Just to me, that little annoyed earlier when I sat here at the glass top desk sitting around with the stones. Willie left behind if Mrs. Van Dipper.
It's true. You kept tapping, and rubbing it over the glass, trying to scratch.
That's just the point, Randy. Rubbing it on the glass, but not scratching it.
Well, you tell me, is there a single scratch, Randy?
No. No, Johnny, you're right. Son of a gun.
Not a question. It wasn't absolutely conclusive. I made no bones about it. It didn't sink in at all while I was doing it. But when I heard an odd deceased Horace Petersley back there in his apartment, and I heard him telling Willie that the deal was off to give him back the tape, it suddenly dawned on me.
So maybe we've got more crooks on this deal than we bargained for, huh? In memory crooks.
Mm-hmm. Including a little old lady who figured on collecting nearly $1 million on that stuff that Mr. Melchior is looking at.
Hey, now, listen, what do you mean by that?
All
right,
hold it, John.
Well, Mr. Melchior?
Gentlemen, there is no question about it.
Are you sure, sir?
I'm absolutely certain. Now, look here, please. You too, Mr. Melchior.
Yeah?
You see, I need the polished piece of pyramid. There's the so-called diamond statue. Yes, the corundum wears away the stone.
I understand.
And here, the test with the refractometer is further proof.
With the what?
The refractometer. It measures the deviation from a straight line suffered by a lower light in passing obliquely through various media of varying density. But now look here, under the ultraviolet light. Now, you see?
Well, that's not a pretty looking out here.
Now, that is a genuine diamond, Lieutenant, that I brought along for comparison. But, now look at this one, under the black light.
Supposedly precious jewels conserved by Mrs. Van Tuckle.
Quite so, Mr. Dollar. They're glass. Safe. Common glass. They're not valuable gems.
What are you? Some kind of a nut.
Although some of them have been very cleverly cut.
No. Wait a minute. Look. It ain't true. It's a lie. It ain't true. I took them out of that safe myself. I had to kill a man to make a deal with him. No, it ain't true.
It's true, all right, William.
And I've been robbed.
I've been robbed.
Get him out of here, Conway. Lock him up.
Well, much as I hate to admit it, you've kind of done yourself a good day's work.
Well, of course, what do you have to do?
Oh,
you got hold of those counterfeit plates for your landed, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
And he took care of that Peterson character for you, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, Andy, why don't you be a nice guy and see that he doesn't get more than a couple of blind things?
As for the phony jewels, well, old Mrs. Van Purple is completely recovered from her beating, by the way. But I say, the real gem, she always kept in her vault in the bank. The plates that she had there in the wall safe were for casual wear. Expect Van Purple, including the payoff to my friend Spotty. Call the phone in the hat. Your serene young gallery.
That premium gasoline performance, that regular gasoline price, find out what so many other car owners have found. In 3 out of 5 cars, regular price Sinclair Dino gasoline matches performance of premium gasoline. Saves you up to 4 cents a gallon. Almost anywhere you see the Sinclair sign, you can save up to 4 cents a gallon with Dino and still get premium performance and mileage. Drive with care and buy Sinclair Dino Gasoline. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, is written by Jack Johnstone, produced and directed by Fred Henderson. Interpreted is written by Ethel Huber. Sound patterns by Walter Arnold. Johnny Dollar is played by Mandel Kramer. Also featured in our cast were Court Benson, Jim Stevens, Tom Gorman, Jackson Beck, Sam Gray, Maurice Thompson, and Bill Smith. Be sure to join us next week, same time, same station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Odd Hannah speaking. Hear Coleman on sports 10 times each weekend on the CBS Radio Network.
This is KROD AMNF Film Dallas.
If ever you pass a mule on the highway, chances are you're going too slow. The too slow driver, the lane danger, inattentiveness on the part of experienced drivers whose driving skills have become automatic, are the real menaces on the highway. Sudden stops and slowdowns invite rear-end collisions. Try to maintain an even speed, neither much faster nor much slower than the flow of traffic. Follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Remember, at 60 miles an hour, under good conditions, it still takes 23 car lengths to stop. Friends, this is Kelly Maddox, Executive Secretary of the Citizens Traffic Commission, asking you to take stock of your driving habits. Don't be a slow-poke driver and don't be a speed demon. Drive at a speed that is safe and prudent. Safe and prudent not only to you, but for others that are driving on the same street or highway. Driving too slow can be just as dangerous as driving too fast.